A very real message here today that I want us to key in on. That message, the focal point, what I want us to hear is that God cares for the rejected and oppressed. I'm just wondering, throughout your life, have you ever felt rejected, put down, left out, discarded? Have you ever felt like you were uncared for? Has that ever been a place that you were? Maybe. That's a place where somebody here is today. If you've ever felt that, if you are feeling that, if you know someone who may be feeling that, today's message is directly intended for you. Lord, as we spend time now looking into your word, reflecting on what you have to say to us, understanding how we can come being so broken at times and still give you worship that you can appreciate. Lord, help us today to recognize, to see what you want us to see, to hear what you want us to hear, to be who you want us to be, and to worship you in the way you want us to worship. This prayer I ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Some people like to have an outline to follow along. If you want to look in your bulletin, there are a few points there I'll be following along as I go. And the first one is distress. The character we're focusing on today is Hagar and her son, Ishmael. Hagar was in distress. She was in distress because she had had her back turned on her by Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was one who had taken care of her, one who I'm guessing she had a pretty significant, meaningful relationship with. But Sarah, she was Sarah's handmaid. She was Sarah's servant. She went around taking care of Sarah, so they were close. Yet there had come this time when Sarah had decided she didn't need Hagar, didn't want Ishmael, her son, around, and told Abraham they need to go. And Abraham agreed. So that left Hagar understandably in distress. We wonder why this happened. There's a thing there that says Ishmael was mocking Isaac. I'm wondering, the number of people in here that have brothers and sisters, siblings of some kind. I don't know what mocking may mean in the context here, but I'm wondering, have you ever done anything with your sibling that could be called mocking? Making fun of, criticizing, whatever mocking may be. Now, Caleb and Noah, because they're pastor's kids, would never do anything like that. That's a joke. But that's what was said, that Sarah saw Ishmael mocking Isaac, but there was more to it than that. And we read between the lines, we can tell it. You see, Sarah really wanted Ishmael and Hagar sent away for fear that Ishmael would get what she felt should be Isaac's, that Ishmael would get her inheritance. And she didn't want that to happen. But you know, the really strange thing is, it was Sarah's idea that Hagar had the child with Abram to start with. She's the one that asked for it. Hagar didn't go and do this behind her back. Hagar didn't even ask for it. It was Sarah's idea. Because she wanted Abram to have children. So she said, take my maidservant and have children. Yet now she's sending her away for that very same thing that happened. Where does this leave Hagar? So, there's doubt is the next thing I list after distress. Hagar is sent away. She's rejected. She's put out. She doesn't know where she's going to go. And so, I think it's reasonable that she would have doubt. Doubt of what her future has. Doubt of who she is. Doubt of her meaning in life. Doubt whether she's actually worth anything. Have any of us ever had those types of doubts about life? Hagar had to. She had no way to help herself. You know what she was sent away with? What did Scripture say she was sent away with? She was sent, what, you know how much water? A skin of water and some bread. A skin of water would be like a bottle of water. Between her and her son, they were sent away with a bottle of water and a little loaf of bread. That was it. Did you catch where they went to? Where were they sent to? Into the what? Desert. Now, it's one thing to be sent out in Nelson County when it's 80-some degrees, whatever it's going to be today, but they were sent out into the desert with one bottle of water, with no place to go. So does it make sense that she might doubt a little bit? Have you ever doubted? The next one. There is a promise that Hagar received. And it's not so much about the promise as it is that the promises comes from someone who can do the impossible, who is God. God has made promise after promise after promise to us in the Scripture. We talked about promises last week, so I'm not going to go through all of those again this week. But God has promised to love us and take care of us and provide for us. And that's what he did here. Have you ever been so far in doubt that you just didn't see where you could go? When there are times like that, I encourage you to consider the promises that God has made. There are promises in the Scripture. And maybe what you want to do, if you're not in one of those places right now, do a study of your own. Do a self-study. And go through, you can Google it, you can find books on it, you can talk to me about it, I'd love to share it with you. But list all of the promises that you see God makes in the Bible. And then when you're down and discouraged and doubtful, consider God's promises. It was one Linda said, you talked about the sparrows and that God takes care, I forgot exactly where it was. God takes care of the sparrows, but God loves us more than all the sparrows that he cares for. We didn't plan that. It was a promise that was there, and that's just one of the many that are in Scripture. So know those promises. And beyond that, it's not just what's said here, but if we have a relationship with God and we know the Holy Spirit communicates with us directly about promises specifically for us in the here and now. It happens. So when you're feeling rejected, left out, uncared for, realize that there's one who always does. You know, I almost missed it, and I wanted to make sure I didn't. God showed himself to me again. It's one of the many reasons I appreciate Linda so much, is that when she spends time putting together worship, I have no doubt whatsoever that she prays over that. And she seeks God's leading and guidance. Because, you know, the song, All Ye Who Thirst, that we just sang, I see how that's so related to Hagar. And yes, there's water there. And she's thirsting for water. But she needs something so much more than water. And if we continue to look, the next point I've got is provision. Being able to embrace the future. Hagar and Ishmael go from being almost dead of thirst in the desert to seeing something. What did they see? A spring or a well. There are times like that's what is happening in our lives. We can be so down, we can be so put out, we can be so rejected that we can't see the blessings, we can't see the opportunities God has right in front of us. But God opened Hagar's eyes and she saw that there was life-giving water right there where she was that she hadn't seen before that. The same thing happens in our lives. God can give us that type of sight. God can give us that type of vision. God can give us that type of hope. God provides in that way. But it didn't stop there. They went from being almost dead of thirst to seeing a life-giving well before their eyes to a promise that her son was going to be a great nation. That's pretty significant hope. That's providing the impossible. And God does it every day if we allow Him. Well, you know something else, and I mentioned this because I want us to understand and maybe wrestle with it a little bit. From what the way I read this, and I know, and I agree with Linda, there are times we don't pray enough when things are going well. And prayer is important. But the way I read the scripture, from what I see happen, neither Hagar nor Ishmael prayed to God in the scripture here. Maybe they did and it just didn't say it. But where I read it, it doesn't say that. God came to Hagar, it says, after hearing the cries of her son. And I expect those were literal cries of pain and thirst and hunger and heat and hurt. Maybe God saw a mother's heart and felt her pain and showed up. God opened her eyes to see the well that was provided, and she responded. Now, she had to respond. There's a response that's going to be required. But God loves us and provides for us in that way. But you know, there's a different twist on this morning. I want you to do something. If you've got your Bibles with you and willing to, turn to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. It's shortly after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, then Isaiah. So it's near the middle of your Bible. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. This is what it says. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. I'll read it again in case you're still looking. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. You know, nowadays a lot of the ways God takes care of those who are rejected and left out and hurt and sent away are through His people. We're commanded to do that. They were commanded back in the Old Testament. And so, what are we doing about that? Yes, there are times we are rejected ourselves and we need to know we have hope in Christ, but we also need to realize there are those around us who are rejected, who are put out. And we're called in Scripture, and this is just one of many of ways we're called to reach out to others. Have you done that recently? If you really open your heart and pray, are there names or their faces that are going to come to mind? You know, now would be a good place to stop. And maybe for some of you, you can just tune out right now and you're done with the sermon and you take that and apply it and go. And there was a temptation in me to even do that. But I'm going to throw you a curveball. This is for those who really want to wrestle with the Scripture. For those who want to wrestle with what God's doing. Those who may want to wrestle with something that's not easy to understand. Here's the curveball. Out of Ishmael, you know what was created? The religion of Islam. Their story is not our story. In fact, Ishmael's story continues in the Quran. He builds a mosque in Mecca. His descendants are known as Arabs, and Ishmael is embraced as the spiritual father of Islam. It's known historically. You can go look at it and read it, and it talks about it place after place after place. So what do we do with that? Did you think about it? How many times have you actually heard a sermon preached on Hagar and Ishmael? Where else do you see in Scripture about Ishmael's nation that God promised to create? Where else is it in the Christian Scripture? It's really not. Because it's a different people. What do we do with it? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cared for, watched over, and even provided for who was to become the father of Islam. So then my question is, what was to become of this person? It adds new meaning to the scripture we find in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. It says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So is it possible maybe God just didn't know what Ishmael was going to do? Maybe God just didn't know necessarily about the woman he was going to marry and what it was going to lead to and the type of religion and the conflict that was going to pray. Maybe God made a mistake. Is that possible? No. So why in the world did God help and make a promise to Hagar and Ishmael? Because God loves all people. God cares for all people, particularly those who are unjustly rejected are oppressed. So my question is, do you think God can still love the Ishmaels of today? If he loved Ishmael back then, I'm pretty sure he loves Ishmael today. My question is, do we love the Ishmaels of today? Who are the Ishmaels? Those who are persecuted, those who have no place, those who are different to us in belief, in culture, and in faith. This last thing I threw at you really is a curveball, and it's hard to understand. It's hard for me. There was a part of me that didn't want to preach it. I bet there aren't many pastors, even though this is included in the lectionary, I bet there are not a lot of pastors getting up and pointing this out this morning, because it's not an easy fit in the puzzle piece type of thing when we look at who God is and who we think God should be and who we want God to be. That God could be a part of something like that. But you know what I think that says to us is we may need to broaden our minds in terms of who God may call us to minister to and with and be a part of and love and pray for. Maybe it's not just those who always think and feel and act the way we do. So I'm not going to wrap it up and put a little bow on it for you. I'm going to leave it for you to wrestle with, to pray with God about, to study. And then remember that God loves you. God will never reject you. And no matter how far away you feel pushed, you can't go to a place that God's not there. In fact, that song, all you who are thirsty, come Lord Jesus, come. All you have to do is ask and he will be there. And you know there are some people today who are probably hearing that, who are wondering that, who are thinking that, does God really still love me? Does God care? Is there a God? And God will give you an opportunity. And maybe it's someone that's already on your mind and heart. Maybe it's someone you have never met and you will meet for the first time today. But God seeks to use his people to reach those he loves and cares for. Will you be obedient in your response? I'm going to invite our praise team to come, and we're going to have a time of invitation. And during this invitation, I invite you to come and respond. And what I'm sensing God doing today is helping us to think differently about our own relationship to God, and not feeling sorry for ourselves, but realizing we can't go around talking about what we don't have anymore, because we've got everything in God, and realizing that. And then the next thing is recognizing those around us who are hurting, who are in need, who feel lost, who don't feel loved, and being willing to be God to them in whatever way God leads. because that's our biggest calling on the face of this earth. And if we don't follow that, we're not being obedient. So who is that today? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to talk to you about that. The altar's open for anything you want to pray about. If there's a specific person, a specific situation you want me to pray with you about, I'm willing and able to do that today. Maybe you've come to know something about this congregation, this body of Christ, and you would like to officially be a part of Woodland Baptist Church. Now's the time you can come forward and make that known as well, and we'd love to celebrate that with you. Well, let's stand together, sing together, respond together as God would lead. Hymn number 405. Have